Hello, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. We're a minute early. I just want to check in real quick and say hi, and hang in there. We're going to wait a couple more minutes. We have more people coming in. And this is Chris, by the way. So hang on. We'll be right back.
Chris, you on?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Ready for our Thursday night conference call. Hope everyone else is doing great. So we're going to wait maybe just one more minute, wait for more people as they're coming in. How's everyone doing tonight? Do we have any first-time callers?
I've been here before, but I just want to say hello and good night.
Hello. Thanks for coming again. Okay. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and get started with our intro. Welcome to tonight's conference call, Thursday night's conference call. Usually it's Lisa, Sophia, and myself. Tonight it's just Sophia and myself. And tonight we're just going to do a Q&A to follow up on the two previous Thursday nights that we did a conference call with Freddie and Colanda and their restored marriage. And they came on, and we may have them back again sometime soon. I know that there is a lot of questions that people had. I don't think they're on the call tonight. We didn't schedule them for tonight. So tonight just going to be a Q&A with Sophia and myself. Lisa was not able to make it tonight. And then tonight we're only going to do about 1 hour. And I will apologize in advance. I'm a little under weather tonight. So I'm grinning and bearing it, but I'm going to make it through tonight. So welcome everyone who's here. This is the first time to our conference call. We call this the SOS conference call, the Standing on Scripture conference call. And because that's all we're doing, we're standing on Scripture. We're standing for our marriages. We're standing on God's word, God's promises. As we do tonight's Q&A, and we have different people speaking, if you're, we ask that you don't mention your spouse's name, because we do record these conference calls only for the purpose of being able to post it on the praisereports.org website, so others who are not able to make it can go in and listen later and benefit from the call. So we ask, don't mention your spouse's name at all. And then if you want to mention your name, first name only, then that's fine. I guess you want to protect your privacy, and you certainly want to protect and cover your spouse's, one, their privacy, number two, you know, what they're doing. You want to cover them by not exposing the details of what they're doing. And again, tonight's call is only going to be about an hour. But we'll see. If the Holy Spirit has a lot that he wants to do, then we'll see how it goes. But we're planning on just 1 hour. Aside from that, I think that's pretty much it. Sophia, did I miss anything, or did I cover all of our intro?
Oh, just since we have several different people on the line, we kindly ask you that while you're on the call, that you just look at your phone and put yourself on mute, because we are able, since the call is being recorded, we are able to pick up a lot of the background noise. So if you could kindly put yourself on mute, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we have anyone who would like to open us up with prayer before we share the good news that God's still on the throne and Jesus Christ has already given us the victory of our restored marriage, and that's why we're standing. We're standing for that to happen. Anyone want to open us up in prayer? Okay.
I'll do it first.
Let me go ahead and...
I'll do it.
Oh, go ahead. All right, go ahead.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you, Father God, for today. We humbly come before your throne of grace and thanking you for another night that we are able to come together, Father, and speak about the wonderful things that you are doing and that you're about to do, Lord Jesus. I ask, Father God, that you search each and every one of our hearts tonight, Father. If there is anything unpleasing, Father, in your sight, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you root it out. That you root it out, Father God, and that you give each one of us, Father, the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father, give us ears to hear your word, a heart to feel you, Father, and eyes to see you, Father God. I ask this in the wonderful, beautiful, mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sophia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight we're doing Q&A, and if you just logged in, we're basically doing a Q&A from the last 2 weeks' testimonies of or testimonial of Freddie and Colanda's restored marriage. So we'll open up the floor. Fire away. Any questions you might have or questions about something else regarding standing?
This is Jennifer, and I do have a question for y'all. As I'm standing, it's been 2 years, and a husband just filed for divorce and is just starting to want to go through a court process or have me just kind of sign off on things. But my question is in regards to praying. At this point, I feel very almost stagnant on my prayers. I do see, God doing things on my behalf and the kids' behalf. But how do you guys handle where you feel dry and stagnant, almost like sometimes the prayers become repetitive? I do thank the Lord and praise him for the things that I want to see. Thank you, Lord, that you're turning my husband's heart, that type of stuff. But how do you guys handle it when you feel like stagnant or almost repetition?
Chris, do you want to answer that? I can give a short answer. I think Charlene's mentioned this, and even in other testimonials that I've read or listened to, because I've also, there's times where I've also hit that point, because you feel like you just sound like a broken record, and it's the same thing over and over again. But you pray Scripture. You pray Scripture. When you're reading the Word, and if there's and you ask the Lord to give you, Scripture, things that you can pray over your husband to reveal, like, how Lord, show me, how do you want me to pray for my husband? And, those words, when you're reading the Word, they will jump out at you, and you will know, certain Scriptures that you can add your spouse's name to and pray. That's the most powerful prayer, praying the word of the Lord over, your spouse or your family or any situation in general. So that's what I can, give you an answer from my end. Chris, what do you think?
So I'm going to share a couple of different things with you. First of all, I completely agree with everything that Sophia said and echo what Charlene said too, is, pray Scripture because you'll never run out. You will be amazed that as you open the Bible and start reading, if you pray before you start reading the Bible, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will bring you to certain scriptures that as you're reading, you'll the Holy Spirit will communicate to you however he does it. And I don't want to characterize it one way or another because he can speak in different ways. But he's going to illuminate something to you that you're reading that you're going to have this moment of, oh my goodness, I could turn this and I could take this verse or these verses and customize it for me and my spouse and my marriage and my family. And then you do that. I've done that many times throughout the 2 years that I've been standing. Jennifer, I understand what you're saying, and I think that I love your question because I think a lot – I love your question. You're the part of the question that I love. It's almost like you reached the plateau. You've reached the plateau like, you know, okay, I'm standing. I'm doing what I've been told by Charlene or other Restore Marriage Ministries. But I feel like, you know, I've gotten to a point where I'm at a dead end. I don't know what to do next. I cannot tell you the number of times I've hit that. I've hit that plateau where I feel like, okay, I've done everything. I've done this. And what I had to learn was that there's another step that God wants to take us further than where we are. And I'm reminded, as you were asking that question, there's a verse in the Bible that says that, a couple of verses, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So we need to rest on the fact that he's working the faith in us. The other scripture I want to give to you also is that he takes us from glory to glory and, I think, grace to grace. So God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will move us from one level of understanding, one level of relationship with him, from one to another. And as I've hit those plateaus and I'm left wondering, like, okay, well, what is there? I feel like I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm done. I feel like I've done everything the Lord wanted me to do. I've prayed this and I've done this. I fasted for, this amount of time. What's next? And each and every single time, without skipping a beat, each and every single time, the Lord would reveal the next step. Like, here's what I want you to see now. And it's kind of like you can't take step number two until you've completed step number one. And you can't go to step number three until you've completed step number two. And I know this might sound, elementary to some of you, but God's not going to give us the next thing to do of how to pray or what to read or a certain understanding or growth. He's not going to give us the next one usually until we've completed the one he just told us to do. But rest assured, when you've completed that one step that you're on now with the Lord and developing your relationship, he'll give you that next one. And sometimes we have to fight for it. What I mean by that is Satan's going to do whatever he can, him and his demons, to prevent you from going to that next step. So what he's going to do is he's going to bring doubt, he's going to bring confusion, he's going to bring fear, he's going to bring worry and anxiousness. He's going to do everything he can to sabotage you moving from where you are to the next level. And he's going to try to deceive you and lie to you by saying, see, you've done all of this, you've said all of this, you've prayed, you've fasted, and nothing happened. Matter of fact, in some cases, it got worse. That's our enemy trying to keep you from going to the next step, because that's what they don't want. Because if we could ever grab hold of the absolute truth and the seeds of those truths, God's truth, settles into our hearts, takes root and grows, we become invincible as standers. And an invincible stander will get the promises that God gave him or her of that restored marriage and a beautiful, incredible relationship on the other side of that restored marriage. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does answer my question. And I do feel like some of the things you said is that kind of at this point is whenever I feel like the attacks on me mentally about you're just doing this. It's almost like repetition. It's like now the fear, now the anxiety. It's like, why isn't this changing? What's going on? Yep. And that type of stuff. So that makes sense. And because some things feel like that they're getting worse, but yet some communications have been improved. So it's like, it's kind of like, just like you said, hitting the wall and then feeling like I'm, you know, so Satan's playing with my mind a lot.
I want to add one thing, too.
You got to all of us. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to add one little thing as well. My daughter, she said, this is Lisa, by the way, she said, I'm not praying for the family anymore because I've pretty much just lost hope. I just pray God's will be done. And so many times that is such a simple prayer for us to pray, but how perfect is that prayer? When I can't pray for anything else, you know, I just say, Lord, let your will be done. I mean, isn't that just like the perfect end all when you're just like worn out? And because I feel like we get stagnant in our prayers. I think Chris and Sophia said it beautifully. And you just don't feel like praying anymore. And I do agree, Chris, that is definitely a trick. But here's, as you were talking, I thought, too, for those of us who still have a living parent, like my mother, my dad is deceased, but my mother is still living, and I am not covering her in prayer every day. When I do ask God, you know, I pray over her. But sometimes it's just like, wow. And there was a period of time where I wasn't even praying over my child every day. I try now to, you know, be conscientious of that, but there are some times where we just kind of, let me speak for myself, get going with my day, and next thing I know, it's like halfway through my day, and I haven't issued out a prayer over my family. Now, that doesn't happen as much now as it used to, now because I'm kind of conscientious of it. But I love that simple prayer because here's the thing. She said she's praying for God's will to be done, but yesterday as we were in church, she and I went to the altar at the 4 o'clock prayer hour, and we're down there and we're praying, and I saw her little hands just going in prayer, and I thought she was praying and asking God for a cat, because that's something she wants, or for an acting job, because that's something else she wants. And we both looked up, and we were the last two people down at the altar praying. Everybody else had gotten up, and they left us down. We were still praying. And she told me later on, she said, do you know what I prayed for? I said, no. And she says, well, since you asked, I prayed for our family. And I just thought that was beautiful because she had to have been led by the Holy Spirit to pray for the family because just 2 nights ago, she was saying she gave up. So I feel like sometimes it's okay for us to give up in our flesh and let the Holy Spirit direct us. I just wanted to add my 2 cents.
And something too else that I wanted, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody off. Something else that I wanted to add to that was, I believe and Chris, I think you've read this book, the Karen Wheaton book. But there's times, you know, when we're just, you know, like you said, Jennifer, we just don't know what to pray and everything. But in the Bible, it says, you know, in Matthew 18:19, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. You know, we have to understand the Holy Spirit, you know, is a person. And when we don't know what to pray, we just say, Holy Spirit, I come in agreement with what, you know, you are speaking because he intercedes for us. And so that's another, you know, thing when we're down and we just don't know what to pray, you know, you come in agreement, you know, with the Holy Spirit. Just like on the prayer wall when we post, you know, for prayers, we're asking people to come in agreement with what we're praying. And it's the same thing that we're asking the Holy Spirit to, you know, that we come into agreement with whatever the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf.
Yep.
That's all very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yep.
I have a question.
Okay, any other questions? Sure.
So I'm going on 3 years on my stand, and I'm starting to understand it at a different level, but I'm having trouble with my daughters because they're teenagers. And it hurts me, and I don't know what to tell them anymore because we pray together and we read scripture, but they don't understand it like I do. And one of my daughter keeps on asking, Mommy, why hasn't Jesus helped Daddy yet? She goes, I ask him all the time. She goes, and I really want Daddy to be saved, but why hasn't he done that yet? She goes, and I'm hurting. And they still cry. It's been 3 years, and they still cry, and it hurts me. And I don't know how to help them.
Chris, this one's for you. You have teenage daughters.
I have three daughters, and they're all teenagers. And my wife moved out 2 years ago. And we've had back and forth for the past 2 years now, 1 week with her and 1 week with me. She's living across town. Right from the very beginning, because we are a Christian family, and my wife is a Christian. So it's there's you know, just like anyone can be deceived, Christians are deceived every single day too. But from the very, very beginning, and it took me a while. There was a process I personally had to go through. But when I got to the point where, you know, 6-8 months after she moved out, the Holy Spirit, Jesus brought me some healing to my heart enough where I could, you know, really start ministering to the girls instead of just hurting. I shared with them what was in the Bible. I said, girls, I said, look, here's what's going on. This is spiritual warfare. I give with you guys on the prayer wall, like we do in the conference calls. We stick with the scriptures because the scriptures, one, it's true, and it's the only thing that has the power to save. But it also is, I turn this into a testimony for the girls to, one, minister to them and minister to them and turn it a testimony, because at some point, you know, what they meant for evil, God meant for will turn it around for our good after he restores us. Well, we're already restored. I'm waiting for that day to come.
Manifestation.
But I shared the truth with them. I told them, look, here's what God says. Christians can be lied and deceived into doing things that we normally wouldn't do, or going, you know, becoming disobedient to God. I share the scripture. I've had them a year and a half ago. I had them. We would have evenings before going to bed that I would tell them. I said, look, guys, let's pray and then open the Bible and see what God has to say for us regarding restoration. And we did this. I'm not exaggerating, and I have it in my journal. This is 4, 5, 6 times we did this, different times. We would pray, and I have the girls get a Bible, their own Bible, and we would pray, and they would open the Bible, and then they would start reading. And every single time we did that, God had them open the Bible and start reading in some scripture that referred to restoration, bringing the captives back from the far country, delivering us, all of that. Everything was, and I was blown away. I'm thinking, Lord, you are just so incredible. Because you're not, it's not just, you know, me becoming a blowhard with my mouth, you know, preaching to the girls. It's they're getting it directly from you. Because there's no way I could open the Bible and put my finger down somewhere and say, okay, read this. They did it. And each and every, and I asked the girls, I said, so read that passage and tell me what you understood, what you think God is speaking to you. And they would say, well, this is, and they would tell me, they would say, God's telling us how he's going to bring mommy back. I said, that's all we have to know. We have to know that he's going to do it. And you know what's funny is that they at the beginning had more faith than I did and more belief, because kids are easier. It's easier for children. You tell them, they believe it, and they take you at face value, and they run off with it. For them, it's not a question of if God's going to do this. For them, it's, you know, when. And I took him to the scripture at one point where I think even yesterday or today came across it again in a daily reading. It is the disciples asked, you know, Jesus, you know, is now the time where you're going to, you know, lead us? And Jesus says, you know, now is not my time, but only my Father knows that the times and the seasons. It's not for us to know the times and the seasons. That's reserved only to God himself. So again, the scripture tells us, because there's not one of us who starts this journey of standing for a marriage who ask. Every single person standing for the marriage is going to ask, God, when are you going to do it? When? And the scripture, again and again and again, wait on me, wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord. There's tons of scripture saying, wait upon the Lord. And that one scripture I just gave you is that it's, you know, in God, the timing is in God's hands of when he's going to do it. There's, I'm also going to draw you to a different scripture. Now, for me, this is my one of my Rhema words, which is, this is going to resonate with some of you, Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. For the Lord said to me, answered me, write the dream down and make it plain on tablets that you may read it and run. For the dream is for an appointed time. And at the end of that appointed time, it will not lie. And though it takes a while, wait for it. Because it's certainly going to happen, it won't take too long. So for me, that was another scripture that that was one of my Rhema words that I got early on, where the Lord told me, look, I'm going to do it. Just be patient and wait. Now you have a choice, either believe and stand or operate in disbelief and, you know, and maybe take a detour or quit and walk away, and then you may never receive it. So I had to make a choice, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna follow you. I'm going to take your word and do it. Does that answer your question? Back to the teenagers, that's all you can do is just tell them what the Lord's telling you. Turn this in. You have an opportunity here to minister to your children exactly what God is telling you. Tell them, because if God's talking to you, it's also applicable to them as well and applies to your situation. And tell them, look, I don't know, but this is what God said. This is what God says, and this is what God told me.
That's all really good. One thing I want to just add real quick that has helped my kids recently is I read them appropriate restoration testimonies and just let them know it's like the Lord is working things out. He does work things out, and here's some testimonies, because that's given them, like it does me. It encourages me when I read testimonies. So I have done that. I just obviously will make some of them age appropriate, but I still read testimonies to them of restoration.
That's great. That's awesome. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, because Holy Spirit knows exactly what your kids need to hear and from you. And I think the greatest thing, if you still have children at home, even if your children are gone, the greatest thing is you have an opportunity to show them what it looks like to walk in faith and in trust and in a relationship with God, because they will model your behavior, your actions in the future for their marriage. Go ahead.
Chris, and I can piggyback on that. I mean, my daughter, she's already 22, and she's going to be getting married next week. But, when I started in my journey, just like, you know, not just like many of us, I was broken. And my daughter, because she saw me in my brokenness and my pain and in that dark place that I was in, her heart had gotten hard towards her dad. But when the Lord delivered me and just opened my eyes and just completely started changing my heart, she saw a change in me. And little by little, her heart, you know, started softening towards her dad, to where now, you know, her and her dad have communication aside from me. Like, they text message each other and they talk to each other, you know, a few times a week. And so that's been a beautiful thing for me to see. It's not just, you know, changes in me, but I've seen changes in her. And, you know, up to this point, to where the Lord brought me, you know, I'm praying that she uses, you know, that what she's seen in me, how the Lord has changed me, that she applies this into her marriage, you know, that she's going to be getting married next week to her husband. You know, that they're getting married next week, so I'm really lifting them up in prayer, too, that their marriage, you know, can can be an image, you know, to mirror Jesus Christ and his love for us. So it's been a beautiful journey to see her heart softening as well.
Does that help answer your question?
It does. It's just that I have a problem because to see their pain, and as being a parent, you don't want to see your children in pain, and you would do anything to take that pain away from them. And sometimes, you know, it's hard for me to understand it, so yet alone for them to understand, you know, all of it is very difficult too.
Regarding the pain specifically, that's when you have an opportunity to really lead them to the Lord and explain to them that they could go into their bedroom, close the door, and one-on-one with Jesus Christ, take their pain to Jesus Christ, so Jesus Christ will take all of that from them and heal their hearts. That could be the beautiful beginning of a relationship.
Their relationship.
Their relationship, one-on-one with Jesus Christ, because that's where when they do that, they go into the secret place with Jesus Christ, one-on-one. That's where Jesus is going to meet them, right there in that spot. And that will be the greatest experience they will have, that they could have as a teenager. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect, ripe opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Any other questions? Open floor, open mic. Any other questions?
Hi, my name's Karen. I was wondering about the testimony from the two people that spoke last time. I forgot their names.
Freddie and Colanda.
I was just wondering if you guys knew when God restored them, if they started back as if they were married, or if they started in a dating process, if that makes sense.
It does. That might be, Sophia, I don't know, Lisa, if you're still on, do you guys recall that detail?
Well, they have never been, they never got a divorce. From what I understand, they had separated. They had separated for a few months. He was out of the house living with his sister, and then he came back home. But things were still pretty. Things were still not good between them. They both were still kind of back and forth, and. I think it wasn't until he completely got deliverance from what he was going through, and she kind of just, you know, even while they were living in the same house, I believe that she just kind of, you know, distanced herself from him and just really sought, you know, the Lord and the relationship with the Lord. But I think it was instant. I don't think it was that they started dating again. I think they just kind of, their marriage was restored and it was better than what they had before. They said it was just it's brand new. Chris, I mean, you listened to the testimony as well, so I think, I don't know if that's what I recall from it. So they never got a divorce, but I don't believe they started dating again. It wasn't like a dating thing. I think she even said at one point, like, she wanted nothing to do with him. Like, she just wanted him for the, you know, to be there for the kids, but she didn't really want him back, I believe. So the Lord had to work in her heart too.
Does that help answer your question? I mean, everyone's journey, by the way, is going to be different.
Exactly, is different.
Just as unique as your relationship is with your spouse, so in a very similar way, your restoration is going to be very unique as well. And one thing that I have discovered with God in the many, many testimonials of restored marriages that I've encountered is that God loves to do it in different and unusual ways, only because he wants to show he's in charge, he's sovereign, and he basically just wants to show off. Say, look, I want to remind you, I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I'm God. I am the great I am. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, and there no one can stop me. Scripture says that and backs it up.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it answers. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I
have a question.
This came across my mind. Let me wrap this last question up real quick. A couple weeks ago, I thought about that very thing, and what I want to be very clear on to everyone, to give them encouragement, is this, is that look to testimonials as a prophetic word for your restoration, but look at it as a general prophetic means of your marriage being restored, but not specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, and let me see if I can go down a little more detail on this. We heard Freddie and Kalanda's testimony. If you go onto the website praisereports.org, there are some 90-some restored marriage testimonials there. If you search the internet, you'll find a lot more. When you hear a testimonial of a restored marriage, that's God saying to you, I can and I will, if you work with me, have faith and obedience, and I'll do it. That's the general. The specific is, Chris, for you, I'm going to do it in a unique way. And it's going to be different than how I'm going to do it with Sophia. It's going to be different from how I do it with Lisa. And it's going to be different from how I do it with Jennifer and Susan and Jack and Mark. Does that make sense? So general, he's going to do it. Specific, the details are up to him. We have to wait and see how God's going to actually play that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helps. Because don't look at your situation and say, well, this does not mirror or match this
testimonial.
Because, you know, your stand's going to look different. Your timing is going to look different. Don't, because Satan will get in there and try to discourage you by saying, well, it's supposed to happen this way, so because it didn't, well, maybe you weren't called to stand. Well, maybe God, you didn't hear God correctly. He's going to mm-hmm. use whatever angle he can to cast doubt mm-hmm. in your stand. So don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Look to your Heavenly mm-hmm. Father. I'm not your Heavenly Father. Charlene is not your Heavenly Father.
Right.
We don't make a determination of how that's going to happen and play out in your marriage. There's only one God, our Father. He's your Father. Mm-hmm. It's a one-on-one relationship. And when he brings your husband or your wife back, it's going to be the three of you, if you build it on him, it's going to be the three of you in that relationship. Not me, not Sophia, not Lisa, not Charlene, not Bob, Brian Camp. It's going to be just the three of you. So the reason why it starts with a personal one-on-one relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and it starts from there, and it ends with God when we get to heaven, you know, but he takes us to the restoration, and then it looks different on the other side. So because we get this a lot where, well, and I see this on the prayer wall too, well, you know what, my husband finally decides to file for divorce, so I think I'm done standing. Mm-hmm. Or my wife, you know, remarried, so I think I'm done standing. Did God change his mind? No. God says he's not a man that he should lie, and he's not a human that he should change his mind. So if God said it yesterday or a year ago, it stands until it is fulfilled. Until mm-hmm. it is fulfilled. So don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Focus on God and on your unique restoration, your unique journey, general and specific. If you get anything from tonight's, you know, conference call, general and specific. The Bible is very general. There's some specific things that God does and how he does it in there. But to your marriage, your restoration, God's going to be very specific and very unique. And that's where the relationship, you need to have a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, because only through that unique relationship, he's going to minister to you and to me what he wants mm-hmm. each of us to do uniquely. He'll tell me to do something and you do the opposite. Why? That's God.
Mm-hmm. Does that help you? Does that answer your question?
I don't know if it was still from my question, but yes, I understand.
Yes.
Yep.
I think somebody else had another question.
Yes. Any other questions?
So I have another question.
Okay.
I spoke to a biblical counselor, and she was telling me, and I just want your opinion from different people, she was telling me that restoration cannot happen for me until God saves my husband, till salvation occurs in both of us. And then if that occurs, then restoration is second. Like, that's what God would bless us with.
Okay.
But sometimes I just worry that, you know, if my husband never accepts God, because he is not a Christian, and he doesn't accept the sin or repent of the sin, then we're not going to be restored.
Okay. I've heard that many times as well. And again, Satan's going to try to take that slight misinformation and use that as a means to cast doubt in you, me, any of us, in our marriage. There are many testimonials where God brought that person back to him first, restored them to himself first, and then brought that prodigal back home to the marriage. There's also the others, where God would bring the spouse home, but unrepented, still not in alignment with God or Jesus Christ, or just plain simply not saved. And God brought him back to the marriage first, and then at some point later, that person became saved, or they came back into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When we have to, here's a principle that God tells us. God is sovereign, God is sovereign, and God is sovereign. When I hear, you hear, what we hear from, you know, preachers, pastors, people from the church, this is how God's going to do it, that's probably 99% the way that God's going to do the opposite of that. 100%, 99% sure God's going to do it differently. That's one way God's probably not going to do it, because he wants to surprise you and shock you in how he wants to do it and how he actually does it. So let's not put restrictions on God, because God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. That's what it means to be sovereign. Does that help? There's also a scripture in the Bible, and I'm trying to remember it, and someone will know exactly what the scripture is. It says, and it's actually written towards the wife, and Charlene says this often, zip your lips so that by your silence in obedience, you might turn his heart to the Lord. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but somebody will know that scripture is. But this is a scripture where we are told by zipping our lips, being quiet, by our quiet and gentle spirit, that our unsaved spouse will turn to the Lord. So, no, there are many instances where where the unsaved spouse or the prodigal running away spouse comes back to God, comes back to the marriage first, and then God straightens out their life. So don't put God in the box.
I believe it's 1 Peter 3:1. I'll read it to you and let me know if this is the one that you're thinking. It says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives."
That's the one right there. That's the verse.
It's 1 Peter 3:1, in case if anybody's wondering.
Okay. Okay.
So
then, does that answer your question?
So if the prodigal wants to come home, whether they're saved or not, then the standard should let them and just leave it to the Lord.
Yes, because and I think Charlene talks about this often, is that don't put any restrictions on them coming home, because that's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit, not one of us comes to Jesus Christ and salvation unless the Holy Spirit draws us. So we can't play the Holy Spirit. That's why the verse that Sophia just read applies to both husbands and wives. You know, let the Holy Spirit pray, because the mightiest weapon mm-hmm. we have is prayer. So pray for them, because that activates God's angels and the Holy Spirit to go and move in your prodigal's heart. Be obedient to God, pray, follow his instructions, unless like there's, you know, some kind of, you know, some real serious issues or abuse or physical safety or whatever, unless there's some real, real issue of that kind. But if there isn't and they want to come home, door should be wide open.
But what if then it's false starts and then it hurts your children? And they leave again, you know?
You leave the false starts to the Lord, because the Lord's in charge. He's sovereign. And if it hurts the children, there is not one thing you can do. You or may not have three teenage daughters. There is not one thing you and I can do to protect our children. That's in God's hands. When my kids get on the bus or I drop them off at school, I'm every single day praying for their safety and protection, all in God's hands. Their hearts are in God's hands. Their safety is in God's hands. So it would be in our best interest to pray that God provides safety and protection from them, the healing of their hearts, because that's God's job. We can't do God's job for him. Let God, we do our part, let God do his part.
Can I add on to that just a little bit?
Sure.
Can you guys hear me? I've talked before because I have an in-home prodigal, and one of the things that the enemy has really attacked my mind about numerous times is whether or not I'm doing the right thing by letting him stay here, even though there's been times that he's gone out and spent the night with other people. And I've really struggled with that, and I was praying and seeking God, and the Holy Spirit led me to that verse in Peter, and I don't have it right before me, I'm sorry, but it was talking about how you should let them live with you as long as they want to, basically. I'm really paraphrasing this, but that was the whole intent of it, and that just gave me peace. And to me, it is a trust issue. We have to trust him that if he does bring them home, it's for a particular reason, and he's going to work all of that out. And if we have worries about the kids and different things, we just have to give that to God and trust that he is sovereign and that he has a plan, and he's going to work it all out for our good, because that's what the Bible says. It's going to work out. All of it's going to work out for our good. So that's just my 2 cents.
No, you're spot on. Exactly what God says. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions? The floor is open.
While you guys are thinking some questions. Sorry, did someone have a question? I was going to give you some praise reports, but go ahead if you have questions.
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Hello? Hi.
Yes, I can hear you.
So thank you for having this conference call. And my situation, what was my, hold on, I'm sorry, I just had my question. Oh, okay. So I'm divorced and I've been divorced for several years. Anyways, but then I had a false start, right? So I was able to move back in, okay, but then my husband, because he was needing help financially, so I moved in, and I was already standing by then, and I was like, oh, this is happening, it's my suddenly. Anyways, long story short, he told me to go, because I'm a Christian, he's not, and he just can't be with a Christian. But he's still in my life, so I moved in with my cousins, and so he comes up to see me every now and then, but he says he really can't be with me, but he still sees me, so I think that's a good thing. He says he's confused, so I think that's my, like, prayers answered, but then now, okay, is this Satan, basically, because now I'm, like, entertaining, sometimes I entertain the idea of moving to a different state to live with my parents. I know it sounds crazy, but it's like, oh, it'll just be easier. My parents love me. They have a nice house. Because I've always, like, had kind of struggled financially out here in L.A., California. And, you know, my parents live in Texas, and they're always like, oh, come home. You have a room, you know. And then I'm thinking, oh, maybe I can go back to school, yada, yada, yada. But my husband's out here in L.A. Okay, so I'm trying to just, like, sum it up to, you know, as concisely as I can. I guess my question is, what's the biblical thing to do? Do I just wait it out in L.A. and just wait out my years forever and ever here waiting for him to make up his mind?
No.
Because he's...
No. It's not going to be forever and ever. Every storm has an end. Every testing, every trial has an end.
Okay.
And you, my dear sister in Christ, I'm going to tell you, that is your husband. The piece of paper that you're holding in your hands, don't acknowledge it as being truth. That is a lie and a fiction from the pit of hell. If you believe it, you have sanctioned everything Satan's trying to do to divorce the two of you and destroy your marriage. The fact that he comes around and he spends time with you is evidence to you, proof to you of your one fleshness. Here, let me see if I can paint a picture in your mind. God said, you and your husband are husband and wife. He's joined the two of you together as husband and wife. You are one flesh. He made you. It's a mystery. He has made you one flesh. Here comes the world. Here comes the world through man's laws, inspired by Satan, and they create this little structure called divorce court with divorce laws with a piece of paper. Do you think that piece of paper that someone, some self-appointed lawmaker, issued against you in your marriage will supersede God's word that you and your husband are one flesh? Who do you think is right, and who do you think has the power and authority? That piece of paper issued by that court and a judge inspired by Satan himself? Or is it God when God says, I joined the two of you together, made you husband and wife, and I made you one flesh. Let no one separate the two of you. Who's true?
Who's God. True? God, of course. I mean, I believe we're married, like under God's, you know.
Okay,
eyes,
but that needs to be, like, the foundation. And it's a foundation. You need that foundation because if you have that as your foundation in your heart, then many of your other questions become self-answered. The answers just jump out of you. Anything that's going to lead you away from your husband and from your marriage is probably going to be from Satan, because Satan will do everything he can to derail your stand. Sorry?
That's what I thought. Yes.
Yes.
Well, okay, yes. Because basically, yeah, he's coming around, but you know, I'm getting impatient, and these thoughts are starting to pop, because they come around, these thoughts about moving into my parents, and it's not like I really want to, but, part of me is just, like, kind of sad and depressed, and I'm like, oh, maybe, you know, my parents are getting older, maybe I should, you know, be with them. But then, biblically, right, like, we're supposed to move away from our parents when we get married, right? I'm just trying to get... help here.
Yeah, I mean, it, Right? Look, if you're going to do it temporarily, that's one thing. But here's the thing. God says guard your hearts. Mm-hmm. Guard your hearts from lies and deceptions of the world, the flesh, and our enemy. And that's what we need to do, because the enemy is going to try to come. We need to expect. This is a battle, you guys. We're not going to go into the battle and not get attacked. We're not going to go into the battle every single day and not get attacked, not have lies and deceptions, not have fiery darts thrown at us. Let's refer back to the spiritual armor. We have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the helmet of salvation to take every thought captive. Okay, test that against God's word and cast down every high, mighty, lofty thought that raises itself against, you know, God's word. And then we have God's word as the double-edged sword, mightier than anything else, both in the physical and in the spiritual, because everything starts as a spiritual and then manifests in the physical. So we have the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. We have our shield of faith, and then we have the gospel of peace that we wrap around our feet, and we run towards peaceful scripture. So God gave us that. Those elements, the spiritual armor, he gave us that because we are at war. And the war is in our minds. And that's the front line for each and every single one of us. Every single day we get up, we have to make a decision. Who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what we see in the physical and the lies and deceptions that's going to draw us away from God's word, God's truth, God's promises, and our stand for our marriage? Or are we going to stand for what God says? We're going to stand for the lies and deceptions that Satan is constantly firing his fiery darts at us. Because the shield of faith is for putting out the fiery darts that are shot at us. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I shall condemn every tongue and every voice that raises itself against what? Against me, my wife, my marriage, and my family. Take that, personalize that verse. That's what God tells us, and he doesn't tell us that for no reason. God's not wasteful. He's not wasting his words. He's telling us exactly what we need to do. So if we take that and then we look at our situation, we look at specific questions we have, I get attacked by those all the time. I have my days where I'm heavily, you know, bombarded by spiritual warfare. Monday of this week was just, you know, my most recent day. And I, you know, there's not one stander who's not bombarded by those thoughts and ideas. It would be so, you know what? And Satan's right. It would be infinitely easier to walk away. But the pain, the consequences, and the suffering we will endure by walking away from our stand will be greater than the actual blood and sweat and tears and bruised knees from being on our on our knees praying. It'll be infinitely easier to walk away, but more painful than our actual stand. Because if we walk away, we never receive the promise that God has given us. Then for the rest of our days, we could look back thinking we've lost. What could it have been if we didn't continue our stand? Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so the thing is, I'm not quitting my stand, per se. I'm just
No,
like,
I'm not saying that
you know,
at all.
Like,
I'm just saying we all have those thoughts and ideas.
No, but do I stay here in proximity, or it doesn't matter where I live in the world? Like, when he comes around, you know? Like, what do you guys think about that? Like, do I have to stay in proximity, or is it the fact that he's still open to seeing me, I should stay in proximity? You know, because he's so adamant. He's like, I can't be with you. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and he's already, you know, seeing other whatever, you know, people, whatever. I don't want to think about it. But, you know, and so what do I do? Like,
I can honestly answer this for you. That is something, you know, very intimate between you and the Lord. And the only person that can answer that for you is God. You take it to prayer. You take it to him in prayer and ask him for direction. Father, like, give me direction on what I should do. Because even if you move to Texas, it still doesn't matter. God is everywhere. And when he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it no matter if you're in China and he's in L.A. My suggestion, like, we can't give you an answer, but my suggestion would be for you to take it in prayer and take it to the Lord. He's the only one that can lead you and guide you on what to do.
Okay. I mean, really, I feel like I should stay because he's still he's coming around. I mean, meaning he's just coming to see me, not coming around and meaning like he wants to be with me, but he still sees me. And I mean, so that gives me hope. And I still have a job here, so it's not like I'm in a bad position.
Right.
I live with family, I live with cousins, so it's really pretty good. You know, God's blessed me. It's just,
so
you know, I had
this thought. It doesn't seem, based on what you've just said, that, you know, you've got your job and he still comes around, that indicates that God wants you to just stay put and not go. Now, however, have there been situations where God has called a stander to relocate here and there? Yes. But see, I think the root the root and the foundation for standing for your marriage has to be and can be none other than a personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ, because you're going to be faced with many, many more decisions similar to this, unsimilar to this, unique situations. No one's going to have an answer for you. When you have that relationship, when you establish, like Sophie said, when you establish that relationship with God and Jesus Christ, you learn to take those very specific and unique questions to the Lord. The Lord will answer you. Jeremiah 33:3. Jot this down. Call to me, and I will hear you, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I don't know. Sophia doesn't know. You don't know. But if you pray that scripture, Jeremiah 33:3, God said, come to me, God himself, ask me, and I'll answer you the answer to your question that no one else has except for me, your Father, your Heavenly Father. So there's your scripture.
Okay, how about signs? Like, I've been praying, do you guys think, you know, the covenant sign, truck signs, like, I see them, like, every day, like, or am I just going kind of crazy? But I'm in the Word, don't get me wrong, I'm in the Word, I'm listening to the Word, I pray, and so it's not like I'm not doing that, but I also see these signs. Can I trust them?
I know Sophia is the one. Sophia, I'm going to give you a chance to answer because I know you have answers on this too. I know you want to jump in here. For me personally, I have had many instances where I would ask God for a unique thing. Give me a sign for this. Give me a sign for that. And he did. And there were, and it got to a point where I would go back and again ask, Lord, I know you just gave me one, you know, yesterday, last week, last month, whatever. Can you just please, you know, and I'm pleading from with all my heart, just give me one more because I need that reassurance. And I will tell you that I have gone to the Lord in that kind of a prayer, and I say, Lord, forgive me. I feel like I am worse than Gideon because Gideon did it 3 times with the fleece and the dew on the ground. And I would go to the Lord, and I would just first ask for forgiveness. Forgive me because I'm worse than Gideon, like 1,000 times worse. And you know what? And it doesn't matter if you ask once or twice or 1,000 times for God to speak to you through signs, whether, you know, general or specific that you ask him. Even if you were to ask him the 5,000th time, you come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is number 5,000. I need another confirmation. You know what? Our God is so good. I could just envision it now. He will look down to you with a big smile on his face, like a ginormous, like big huggable grandpa, and say, I will give it to you. Yes, I will. Ask me 10,000 times. I will give it to you. So will God give it to you? You go and ask him, he will, because everything is yes and amen through Jesus Christ, and he will do it 1,000 times, 10,000 times, 100,000 times. Now, how will he speak to you? Again, my fallback is God is sovereign. He will speak to you in 1,000 different ways, and don't let any one person tell you otherwise. Because if you go back and look at the Old Testament and the numerous ways that God performed signs and miracles and wonders, he did it. He did most unusual and unique things, and he did it to show us, again, I'm God. I'm sovereign. I can do what I want, when I want, how I want to do it. And no one can put me in a box and restrict me to this way or that way or only these kinds of ways. No. If you pray and you ask God for a sign, and you, then go look for it. Here's the other thing. Don't just pray and then walk away and forget. Write down in a journal and go look for it. Look. Expect him to give you that sign. Expect him to give you the answer. Expect, because that's what he wants. Because when we ask for something and then we expect it, God is pleased with that because we're demonstrating faith. And what pleases God? Mm. Faith pleases mm-hmm. God. Okay, Sophia, all yours.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I agree with Chris, definitely. You know, the Lord sends us these signs as a reminder to trust him. He wants us to trust him because he's the one that's going to do it. Now, I'm going to tell you a few months ago, and I shared this on the prayer wall, because there are some people that sometimes try to discourage. But I will share with you specifically in regards to your covenant truck. I didn't ask for a covenant truck, but in the scripture it says, you know, the Lord will do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or imagine. And I remember this specific time, you know, I was like, Lord, you know, I just want, you know, just I'm asking for confirmation. Like, if this is what you want me to do, you know, and I asked to see a specific butterfly. I asked to see a monarch butterfly. And I was on my way on the highway, and I remember my parents were in the car with me. I was on the highway driving, and I saw a covenant truck, and right in front of the covenant truck was flying, was a monarch butterfly flying, like an actual live butterfly flying right in front of the truck. So don't let anybody discourage you and tell you, oh, God, you know, the signs are, God will use anything, anything he wants to speak to you, and just to, as a reminder, like, don't, you know, his promise that he spoke to you, but, you know, ultimately, because he wants us to trust him wholeheartedly that he will do it.
Thank you so much. That really clarifies things, and then also that you backed it up with scripture with the whole Gideon thing, and I know about that, those verses, but I forgot the whole Gideon thing, so thank you for bringing that up. So thank you both. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Anybody else have any questions? I think we're already a little bit over the 1 hour mark.
I'm going to share some praise reports with you guys real quick, and I'm just going to keep it very, very brief. As I mentioned earlier in this conference call that my wife moved out 2 years ago, her attitude 2 years ago was that she wanted nothing to do with me. She was not coming back. She was determined to make it on her own. She didn't need a man. She didn't need a husband. She didn't want to be married. These are all common lies from our enemy. And a few other things that don't come to mind right now. But the reason why I point that out is I want to contrast that with today. Today, these last few weeks and months. I am going over to just this week alone, every single day this week, today's Thursday, every single day this week, and actually even over the weekend, we've been texting back and forth about miscellaneous stuff, kids, fun stuff, non-kid-related stuff, very interesting. I go to her house. I've been over her house several times now to walk her dog, and there's a long story behind that of the why and the reasons and everything else, and details. I don't have time to go into that tonight. But let me go back again for contrast. When she moved out 2 years ago, she rented an apartment. She would not let me step foot into that apartment. It's her place. It's her domain. It's her space, her world, her environment, and no Chris, no husband was going to invade that space, period. When she bought a house about a year ago, it was the same thing. I offered, you know, can I help with this? Can I help with that? No. Not at all. Sometimes she just didn't even respond to my offers for helping with whatever stuff. She actually had friends, coworkers, and friends come over to her place to actually help her, you know, with basic maintenance stuff, setting up beds, you know, for the kids, all kinds of, you know, things that me as a husband, as a man would do. Refused, rejected every single time, shot down, you know, just, you know, crash and burn 100 times, crashing and burning. And yet, you know, when the opportunities presented themselves, I would offer with no expectation. Lord, I'm being obedient to you. I'm doing what you called me to do. Unconditionally love her. I'm going to put the offer out there, and whether she accepts it or receives it or denies it, declines it, it doesn't matter, because my job is to be obedient to you, Lord, not to her. And I think, was it Charlene's post yesterday, today, or Lori's that said, I just read it today or yesterday, that we should not be, Sophia, you posted that, I think, in a link yesterday, last night, or today. Something about we should not base our stand based on our attitudes, our feelings, our emotions, or our stand should not be based on the next thing that our spouse does. And when they do something positive, then yay, we're on cloud nine. And if they do something negative and derogatory, or say something negative and derogatory, then we're depressed all day. We're not leaning on God. We're not trusting in God, walking with God, and looking to Him. That's and I say that not to condemn you guys. I say that as a reflection of where your focus should be. Because if it's on your spouse and they are determining your attitude for the day, then you're focused on your spouse, not on God. Because when you're focused on God, everything bounces off of you. It doesn't matter what they say or what they do. It's irrelevant. So that's what I did. I continued doing that, and I had to grow into that too. But here we are today. I've gone over to her place numerous times for dinner. I've gone over to her place numerous times for, you know, doing fun stuff with her and the kids. I've gone to her place. Now I go to her place. Okay, now I want you to hear me very carefully today. This is amazing. For the last week, I have gone over to her place, or the last 2 weeks, I have gone over to her place 2 or 3 times without her being there. She has a remote system set up where she could remotely let someone into the house. So I have gone there 2 or 3 times without her being there to take her dog for a walk, and she would open it up remotely and let me in. Now, let me ask you this. Most of you on this call are women or wives. For you to let your husband do that requires a great amount of trust. So contrast now 2 years ago, where I couldn't even step foot in her place with her there. And now she lets me go into her place without her being there. And I've gone over many times. Do you see how God's working? Do you see how God's working? When we fix our eyes on Him and He transforms our vision and our sight, and we start seeing, we then take on the mind of Christ. We start seeing in the spiritual, and as we start seeing in the spiritual, we start seeing the breadcrumbs. We start seeing the mountain moving. We see the hand of God moving here, moving there in various different ways. So I just want to share that with you guys. Because not only is it a demonstration of what God does and how God does it, but I wanted to share it with you guys because it's a great encouragement that it all happens in God's timing, and the closer we draw to Him, the more we're in alignment with what He wants us to do on a daily basis, and the more we're in alignment with Him, the more God is moving in our life, changing our hearts, moving in our prodigals' hearts, changing their hearts. And it doesn't matter what condition God brings them home. When God brings them home, God brings them home. And if it's a false start, praise the Lord. It's another opportunity to praise Him and continue standing. It is much harder when God brings the prodigal home, because you're going to have less time and you're going to be confronted with Satan trying to rear his ugly head repeatedly throughout the day, every day, into your relationship to try to destroy it again and again and again, and create the false start. So, is it a blessing? Is it a curse? When they come home, it's going to be hard. But, you know, I'm not saying, you know, praise the Lord when they leave because, oh, they're gone, I can get back to the Lord now. I'm not saying that whatsoever. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying in whatever situation you're in, whether they've come home in a horrible situation or not, they fully repented. Just trust the Lord and look to Him. You don't need to trust your spouse. You need to mm-hmm. trust the Lord. Because if you trust the Lord, listen, Proverbs, well, I might be misquoting this. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it like channels of river wherever He wants. Every single one of our hearts, my heart, your heart, our prodigal's hearts, God's holding them in His hands. Satan's not in control of his spouse's heart. Satan's not in charge. Demons aren't in charge. What's that?
It's Proverbs 21.
Proverbs 21:1. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's in charge. He is sovereign. He holds our hearts in His hands. Your prodigal, my prodigal, He's holding our prodigal's hearts in His hands. He gives us the will and desire to do. And, oh, I love, I pray this, these scriptures often. And the third one, this for me, this makes the trinity sort of the restoration of my marriage is, God, You hold my wife's heart in Your hand. It's and You give her the will and desire when to come home. And no matter what plans she has, You direct her steps. Those are all three different scriptures. That's what I pray over. That's some of the scriptures that I pray over my wife. So if God, so let's see if I can, this is it. This is the full package right here. God holds your prodigal's heart in His hand. He directs it wherever He wants. He gives your prodigal the will and desire to do. And He also, regardless of what plans our prodigals make, God is the one who ultimately decides which steps they take in which direction. What else is there left? Where within those three scriptures can Satan get in and mess up or derail God's restoration plan for your marriage? Zero. Satan has no foothold within those three scriptures, period. If you stand just on those three scriptures and pray that over your spouse, that's all you need. That's all you need. You don't need 1,000 scriptures. But if you need 1,000 scriptures so God may build your faith, well, He's given them to you. There's tons more. That's how good and gracious our God is. He will give you and give you and give you whatever you need to get, because who's the author and finisher of our faith? Jesus Christ. So if He's the author and finisher of your faith, my faith, He will give us whatever we need to get our faith to where it needs to be, so then He can do His job, and then we receive His blessing. It's been conquered at the cross. Our victory is guaranteed from the cross. Done. That's my praise report I want to share with you as an encouragement to, you know, regardless of, you know, whether you're starting your stand, whether you're, you know, somewhere in the middle, whether you're in a waiting room waiting for your spouse to come home, you know, and you're just waiting, wherever you are, God's working. He'll give you some breadcrumbs. He may not. If you need breadcrumbs, ask. He'll give you breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs comes from the story of the Samaritan woman who came and asked the Lord, and then, you know, then she had a conversation with Him three times, and then she says, but even the dogs get the breadcrumbs from the master's table. That's faith. She was showing her faith. Jesus says, go. Your prayer has been answered. Ask for breadcrumbs. What do you need? I would challenge you. Write down on a piece of paper, literally. Take a piece of paper, write it down. Write down what you need. Do you need more faith? Do you need more trust? Mm-hmm. Do you need an answer for this thing specifically or that thing specifically? The more specific you get, the more specific an answer you'll get, and then it'll blow you away out of how God operates. God is very personal. The one thing that He wants more than anything else is that personal one-on-one intimate relationship with each and every single one of us. Go ask Him whatever you need, no matter how great it is or how small it is. I have seen God answer, God forgive me for saying this, some of my dumbest, smallest, most insignificant requests. And I'd laugh after he'd answer my prayer about this or that, and I laughed and I said, Lord, this was so stupid and so small. He says, yeah, but You asked me, are You not my son? If your earthly fathers know how to feed, your earthly fathers who are evil know how to feed and take care of you, your children, how much more our Heavenly Father give you And if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? If you ask for fish, will he give you a snake? No, be specific and go to him. Nothing's too big or too small. He loves nothing more than to have that intimate relationship with you and answer your prayers, great or small. Take it to him, everything. Okay, I'm done. Any other questions? I know we have people in the room here. Okay, we're getting close to wrapping this up. So one more question. If anyone has a question, one more question. Okay.
Can I ask? Can I ask?
Sure. No, go ahead.
I already asked, but can I have a second question?
Sure, go ahead. You can have more than one question, absolutely.
Oh, okay. So God's have been in situations where God's been putting me in situations to be around other young married couples, their first marriage. They're young, they're in their 20s, and I just met them, and I just started talking about marriage covenant and all that and telling them that. So I feel really blessed, and I know scripture, so I was backing it up with scripture, but I still get the resistance with the exception clause. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, no.
No.
The fornication, adultery. Let me
so I get this like resistance, and I tell them it's not about it's not adultery, because I know the whole like the Greek meaning of it, and if you look deeper, it's like really not. It was for the betrothal
fornication.
Period.
It was for
the
fornication.
Right? Yeah, and it was during like the Jewish betrothal period. So I mean, like I went like deep and trying to like tell them all this, mm-hmm. but there's this like, is it a spirit or something? Like, what is resisting them like to accept? And okay, let me backtrack. Each of them that were really resistant. Have parents that are remarried, and they were trying to defend them. But then they would be like, yeah, but I get you. Like, everything you're saying makes sense, but I think God, this is what they would say, I think God, you know, gives certain cases. Like, so anyways, I'm just, I tell them in love, like, no, it's absolute, but I just feel like, is there anything else that I can say, or is it just really like, at this point, it's just, they're just not understanding.
Are you trying to convince them, or are you trying to convince yourself?
Mm-hmm. Me?
Who are you trying to convince?
Not,
yes.
No, them. No. I believe in covenant marriage, so I'm like already like there. I'm just saying that God's been putting me in a situation where I'm meeting these people, and I'm you know. Being led to share with them what it is.
It's until they're faced with that situation, they're not going to have the opportunity to fully grasp the scripture regarding marriage. So there's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, in the New Testament, I think it was Paul that mentioned that we should not quarrel with each other on doctrine of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Number one, so seek peace in all situations. If you've given them the verses and scriptures, and they're, for whatever reason they're not receiving it, they're not accepting it, or they don't understand it, whatever the case might be, move on. That's wrong choice of words. Leave the issue alone. You've given them the scripture. Let it fall where it does. Let the Holy Spirit deal with that. Pray for them, but mm-hmm. don't let that become a contentious issue between you and them. Be an example, because here's what's going to happen. When God restores your marriage and brings your husband back home, they're going to be beating down a path to your house, knocking on your door, banging on your door, and they're going to say, tell me what you did, tell me what I need to do, because Satan has just attacked my marriage, and I don't know what to do. Now they're ripe for hearing the unvarnished truth of what God is saying in the Bible. So don't worry about that. Not everyone's going to understand your trial and your testing and your stand. Mm-hmm. God spoke to me to stand. God spoke to you to stand. God didn't speak to them yet because we don't know what's going to happen with them.
God was putting in my heart to at least share it with them because they're young, they're young Christians, and they, young married Christians. So I just there's no doubt in my mind that I was supposed to share with them. And because one brother in the group, they're all from my church, one brother in the group was thinking about divorcing his wife. So when he came out with that, I realized, oh, I'm supposed to share them these scriptures, the truth about marriage, because we were all having a barbecue, you know, all that. And, you know, there, anyways, it happened. I still shared with them, but you're right. I need to leave a beat. I shouldn't just bring it up just to bring it up. I should, you know, unless they ask. Right. And then just let the Holy Spirit work in their life.
There's another scripture that says that we should have, and I'm so loosely paraphrasing this, we should be ready to defend our position with the hope and the glory that is in us from the Word. So when someone comes and asks, then we give them the biblical response. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not Charlene's opinion, but the biblical response, which is Jesus Christ, which is the hope and glory in us. So that's the response. If God's, I totally understand what you're saying. I've had Christian brothers who have gone through their own issues with their marriage. I've shared with them very specifically what God says. And a couple of them are so bitter and so angry that God brought their wives back, but they said no. And I'm still praying for them. Okay. I am still praying for them because God brought their wives back home, and they said, well, I forgave her, but I'm not interested in reconciling with my wife. And I've shared the scripture.
And that scripture that you said, that you just spoke of, is first, in case if anybody's wondering, because we like to share, we're standing on scripture. It's 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Mm-hmm. There's your big biblical answer.
Awesome. Thank you.
Any other questions? We've got about 3 minutes. I guess we can wrap. One last question. You can ask a second or a third question if you want. Otherwise, we'll wrap it up with prayer. Okay. We'll wrap it up in prayer. God bless you guys. We're Lisa, Sophia, and myself, and I know I speak on their behalf, but we stand with you in prayer. We stand with you in standing for our marriages, for our prodigals. We stand in with you. That's why we do these conference calls. Contact us directly if you want, if you need special prayers, you need special, you know, guidance, whatever, and proclaim what you want. Proclaim the thing that God has promised you on the prayer wall, with others, in prayer. Proclaim those things. Because God answers the prayers, and when we proclaim those things as they're true, then those things which are not will come to pass as God has promised us. So proclaim the truth, God's truth, and do it. So we'll see you back here, Lord willing, next Thursday night. We want to bless you guys this evening. I'm going to close out in prayer. Just want to let you guys know we do love you, we care about you, we pray for you, and that's why we do. We do this because we want everyone standing strong and standing in the faith for the promise that God has given to each and every one of us is a restored marriage. It's a promise. It's a victory. We just have to claim it. It's not a, you know, it's all throughout the Bible. He's given it to us. Ask Mark 11:23-24. Ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Believe you've received and it shall be done for you. So we want to continue encouraging you guys. Sure, go ahead.
After you're done, go ahead. Just go, keep going, and
I'll pray.
Just share this.
Okay.
Well, let me share this, and then you can close
okay.
out in prayer. That way we can just
hang
up. But I mean, Chris shared with you guys earlier the praisereports.org website, where you guys can get countless testimonials, videos, and written that's been posted on there. But there's also another marriage restoration website, if you guys have not already found it or come across it. It's called Marriage Revealed Ministries, and it's also encouraging their devotionals and their testimonies. So if you guys want something, you know, other than the RMM and praise reports, that's another good one, Marriage Revealed Ministries. Okay, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Good one. Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you, Father, for all your promises. We want to thank you for the hope and the glory that is in each and every one of us. We want to thank you for conquering Satan and death and hell at the cross through Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your guaranteed promises of restoring our marriages, because it is your will. It is your will. Our prodigals belong to you. Our marriages belong to you. And we know that is your will, very clear, without any question. So, Father, we know, and we thank you for that. We thank you. We ask, Father, that you give each and every single one of us who hear this, hear the words of my prayer, that each and every single one of us will be given and receive from you everything we need to successfully stand for our marriages as you have asked us and told us to do, that whatever need we might have, more faith, more courage, more boldness, more scripture, more help with finances, jobs, income, places to live, issues with extended family members or children. Father, whatever needs we might have, whatever needs greater or small, Father, I pray that, and I lift up to you all my brothers and sisters on this call, that you would hear each and every single prayer, that you would answer each and every single prayer, that by faith, I proclaim and receive on their behalf as well everything that they're praying for, that it's in accordance with your will, Father. So we want to thank you for all of that. And, Father, I bless each and every single person on this call and hearing this later on in the playback, that you would strengthen them with all the spiritual gifts and all the faith that they need to not let their faith fail, but that they continue standing into a victory, the victory that you've given to each and every single one of us. So let us wait and be patient and wait upon you until that moment, that time when you will give us our restoration, whatever it looks like and whatever form you're going to give it back to us, Father, because you're sovereign and we respect and honor your sovereignty. And we thank you for that, Father. So we bless each and every single person on this call and listening and playback. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you and praise your name. Amen.
Amen. Good
God
night, bless
you guys. We'll see you on a prayer
Amen.
Wall. We'll see you next Thursday night.
Good night.
Good night.